And then they started going and they left. They stayed a few days, quite a few days, because they did leave early in the morning. But this time, when they start to go over there, it only took him a day. And he left them, you know, they stopped, and then they were just going to go around the bend, and that's where he left his father. I mean, they left their pack there, you know, and then he decided to let his father go with them. So they took off their clothes, you know, those real good clothes that they had now. And they put their old clothes on, the kind that they used that time when they were throwing stuff on them and dumping that dirty stuff on them. They put those clothes on, and they took a little bit of food from that pack that they had, and they went down to that place where they used to go, that little old place where they dumped stuff, and it really stank. That little house it was like a little house. That's the only place that the people would let them stay. And they went back there. And then they stayed there until late in the evening. You know, it started to get dark. And the people start coming in. You know, when it started getting kind of dark, that's where they usually went there to eat. And then when it became kind of dark, they went there and went to that place where we used to stay when they were going to go eat. And then, you know, they did the same thing again. Those people started dumping their baby's diaper stuff and everything. Or even if it was a big one that went into the pot, they dump it to these people. They still never changed. And even if their kids, or whether it was a big person or not, they still dump it. They never changed, and they still want to use them as, they just want to dump them. They just want to be those high society stuff and everything. And then finally it got to be where everybody was going home, and then they decided to go home too, and they went home. They went home to that little house that they used to stay in, and they slept there for a while, and they woke up in the morning. It was daytime. The one that used to be poor, that young man, he said, "Let's go to those people that used to like us, you know, those rich people, the one that we used to change clothes from, the people that we used to eat from. Let's go over there." So they went over. In fact, that young man let his grandfather go over there and tell him. He said, "Tonight, remember, when everybody start to go eat again over there in that feasting ground," he said, "don't go over there." That's what that young man told the old man to tell these couple that were rich. He said, "Don't go over there. For sure, the one that lived in that one house that always be nice to these couple that were poor." He said, "Remember now, don't go over there. Don't go to the feasting ground today." He said, "Just this one night, don't go over and eat." And then finally, after he had told them, when it got dark, you know, it was nighttime now, or getting kind of dark, when the people started taking these food to the feasting ground again, this poor man wanted to go over there alone. So he went over and started walking over. And those, you know, houses where these people live, going up to that hunting ground, they had these lot of wood there. And he started walking over. There used to be a lot of, pieces of wood. And he started looking at those woods that were on the ground, and then he got a piece of wood that fit his hand, the kind that he was pretty sure that wouldn't break. He put it in his hand and went over to the feasting ground. That's when everybody had gone over. But he knew that those rich people that he had told him not to go out didn't go over. So he went inside to where he usually stays, And he got that piece of wood so that he could be sure and hit him with it. He took that along. And then when he went inside, this poor person put his legs across, or, you know, enough so that he had both his legs away from that thing. And he took his clothes and he just tore them apart and threw them. And those people, every time they start to go out, he'll hit them. He start hitting them, you know, and killing them. All those people that dump all that trash on him, he start hitting them all night. And then finally, those people that were in that feasting ground, there were no more. Even whether they were women or whether they were men or whether they were children, he killed them all. And it got to be where there was not one single person alive. And when he finally finished them, he went home. And that's when he went inside, he told his grandfather, he said, I got even with them. With the people that were always throwing trash at me in the feasting ground. I have killed every single person in that feasting ground. And he told these men and these rich people that were with him, the one that didn't go up to the feasting ground, they listened to him. He told them, he said, well, you know, it was on the next day. He said to his grandfather, he said, go up and, I mean, you know, before he said anything to him, he went up and got those clothes and everything and those food that they had. They took the food from that pack that he had and gave it to those rich people that used to be good to them. And he told them, those people that used to be rich, he said, let's go. We're going to use these that I have here and use them as food. And let's just get away from here. So these rich people that really that they liked, and also the ones that always treated them good, he took them out hunting and took them to that place where they stayed at and used those food that he had in his pack and used them as food. And when they reached with those people, they seen these two caches full of food. When they reached it, these rich people, they said, he said, this is our land. This is where our land is going to be. And they start living there. They got all together and started living there. And then they had a lot of children too, those other rich people. And that is the end of the story. This next story that Floyd Abakana is going to tell was told from his grandfather, Suvalelo. And it was given to him, or he learned it when he was a young man or a young boy. It was when they lived in the Puente Barrio. And he used to get wood for him. And whenever he got wood for him, he used to tell him a story. And this is one of them that was learned by him from Suvalelok. And he is going to tell it now. It was a long time ago when he was a little boy, he learned it. There was Ana Luig is the name of it. It means two old women. His name is Floyd Abakana. They had these two old women that had a place, and they also had a feasting place. And these two rich people had a son, a young man. And that young man was a real good hunter. And this poor girl, this real poor girl, he always went inside and visited these two rich people. He liked going over there because they always fed her. You know, she was a poor girl. And they always gave her food. And he got so that she liked to go over there because that was the only place where she ate. And then every time they gave her food, she would save a little bit for her grandmother and put them inside her parka and take it home with her. You know, when those rich people gave her food, she'll always take some home to her grandmother. And they live like that, you know, going from person to person. But especially to these people's house, because they always gave her food. Every time they ate, they always gave her food. And it got to be that that she saved them. I mean, she always liked to save for her grandmother because there was no other place for them to eat from. And they lived like that. And that girl got to be where she was a young lady. And then finally, that young man, the rich people's son, he got these owl's feet. He make them into scratchers, you know, just to goof around. He got it so that he put a string on there so that he could make them scratch, you know. And you know how sharp those owl's feet are. And then finally, when that girl went to visit in the evening again, it was just before they had supper time. She had gone to visit over there again, you know, to that people's house. It was kind of late in the evening. And then they started eating. And just when they were starting to eat, she went inside and went to that little place by the door where they set her aside. And then while she's in that little place where she ate, his wife, this rich man's wife, would give that young girl a plate to eat. And then it was that one day when she went there to visit again. It was in one of those days when she went to visit, because she liked to go over there. She was sitting by that place again where, in that little corner, that old woman, I mean, you know, that rich woman was going to give that food to that young girl. And that young man went over there to her. And just when she started to grab her food, that young man just scratched her right on her right hand and just held it in her hand. And then she held it like that for a while, and then finally he took it off, but it cut, and then her hand started to bleed. But she still kept on eating. Her hand was bleeding, but she didn't say anything. They didn't scold him or anything. And that young man, when that young lady went out, and she started to put some food inside her parka again for her grandmother, and it was when she went out that the his father and mother said to this young man, they talked to him and told him not to do that. He said, never do that to a poor person, that they shouldn't bother her. Because there are days when these poor people, when they get mad, they really, you know, pay back in some way. But then their son didn't say anything to them. He didn't even answer them. When that young lady finally went home to his grandmother, she didn't even say anything to her about that scratched hand. It hurt her. It had a big cut on it. But she didn't say anything to her grandmother. And then it was on the next day, you know, after they had fallen asleep, she knew that it was almost time for them to eat. That poor lady, that poor young girl, she didn't learn her lesson. She went down there to visit again because she was hungry. So she went inside, and she sat down to where she always sat. They have never asked her to sit up by them or, you know, but always by the door. And the grandmother said to her, here's your food. And when she gave that food to her, that young man went up to that girl again and scratched her again. And this time it was longer, you know, way longer than before. And this time they really bleeded, you know, bleeded more than usual. And then she started eating even though her hand was bleeding. You know, she still wanted to finish her food. She got what was left over and she got it for her grandmother again, and she put it inside of her pocket and she went out. And she still didn't say anything to her grandmother. She hid it from her. That was the second time that that he scratched her on her right hand. And then it was on the next day. It was the next day again, and she knew that it was time for them to eat, so she got ready. That little, that young lady went down to visit again and went inside, and she couldn't learn her lesson because she was always hungry, and that was the only place that she could eat. So she went inside to these rich people's house, and she sat down where she usually sat, and she sat there, even though her hands were all swelled up. And this time the rich son's parents really scolded him, you know, really scolded him. That they shouldn't treat the poor people like that. That when they start to pay back them on them on doing something, they really pay back. He said, something's going to happen to you one of these days. But their son never answered them, never said anything to his parents. And then another day went by again, and she went down there again, and she had her that one right hand in inside her parka this time, the one that had a big cut on there because it was all swelled up. And then when they start to eat, she was waiting again there for her food. And that woman gave her some food, and she was really hungry. And when she started to grab them with her left hand, those food that was given to her, just when she started to grab for them, that young man scratched her again. And then this time when he scratched her, she started pulling him, you know. But this time he really cut her, and that's when she started to cry. That was the first time she ever cried. The last time that he scratched her, she really did start crying because she did pull off. And this time it really hurt her. This time they really scolded their son, but he wouldn't listen to them. That these two couple, you know, this young man just wanted to make fun of this young lady, and she really started crying. And she didn't even get those food that was handed to her. She just started crying and kept on crying. And then she said, I am not gonna come back. This is the last time I'll never come back. The minute she said that she wasn't going to come back, she would run out crying. Because this time, it really hurt this time. It just, she went home to her grandmother, and she come in crying to her grandmother, and she was really crying, and she couldn't stop crying. And then finally she finally told her grandmother what happened. She said, ever since we started, I've been going down there for a long time. That young man has been scratching my hands and cutting my hands up every time she went down there to eat. You know, it was these lately. He got these owl feet and really cut him up, and really cut her hand up. And they were all swelled up. Her right hand was all swelled up. And it really hurt her this time. This time there was just too much cut. And she kept on crying and wouldn't stop crying. Finally, when she couldn't stop crying, her grandmother said, grandson, there's nothing I could do about it. I wish that I could do something. But then, even so, I'm going to show you a song. And when you get down there, only when you learn it, I want you to go down there and go to that place where she used to go and eat and get in front of the door and sing that song. And then if it could happen, if something could happen, don't be scared. But you be sure, and if there's two things that come in through the door, you be sure and go out through them, right in between them. So she quit crying, and she started listening to that song, and she tried learning it. She started, learning that song that she was going to teach her. And it took her all night, and she finally learned it. Every once in a while, she'll ask her grandson if she learned it. And every time she said no, she'll start singing again. And then this time when she asked her again, she said, yes, I know it. I know it now. Now that you learned that song, I want you to go down there. And don't forget, you get in front of the door and you turn your back and you start singing that song. And when you finish singing, you listen. You listen to see if you could hear something. So she got ready and she put her belt on. She put her belt on and everything, this poor girl, and she went down and visited to that place again. The minute she set her foot in there, that young man that was sitting down, the one that always make fun of her, he was lying down. He stood up and said, I thought you said that you wouldn't go visit us anymore. Why is it that you came back to see us? Why did you come back? What for? What do you want? Then the young lady said, all these years or all these times you've been making fun of me. Even when I try to eat, when I always try to go eat in your guys because I didn't have anything to eat at home, and then yet you made fun of me. You hurt me, you cut me up, and you made fun of me. Even though you were scolded by your parents, you still made fun of me. And then, now, can't you think of anything else to make fun of besides me? That young man said, What kind of a fun would I have besides with you? There's nobody else to have fun with that are my own age. There's no way that he could have fun but with her, because she was poor and he could do anything that he wanted with her. And then all these times you made fun of me, hurt me, and scratch me, and you can't think of anything to do that could be of use. And then when I quit singing this song, you listen. So she starts singing. She went towards the door, put her back towards him, and then in by the door, and then every time she finished singing that song, she'll listen. And quite a few times she didn't hear anything. And then when she started singing, it got to be where she sang it real fast. fast this time. It was slow at first, and she starts singing it faster and faster. Remember when I had nothing to eat, you couldn't think of anything to do but make fun of me. What is it? Remember, I told you that what is it that I could make fun of with the young men or the young ladies? If I don't make fun of you, you're about the only thing I could make fun of anyway. And that's what that man said to that woman. And then finally she got to be where she really sang fast. And then they heard something. She heard two things make noise out in the porch. Two noises. Two different noises. And when she heard it, and when that young man heard it, he said, that young woman said, all these years you've been making fun of me, and now you always said you always wanted to make fun of me, and now you're going to hear something. Something is going to, you know, those people that live there heard that thing, that heard that noise. They were in this real huge house. And then when this young man heard that noise, he said, I won't do it again. I won't do it again. Please, you poor woman, I won't do it again. You could eat any much you want to. I'll give you anything you want. Stop it. Stop singing. But she kept on singing. And this time it got faster and faster. That young lady that was poor said, you made fun of me all these years. Your parents scold you and you wouldn't listen to them. Remember, you wouldn't listen to them. You couldn't think of anything to make fun of but me. And then something started coming in through the door, growling. And those doors that were in there, something started coming in. And then when they seen it, it was two polar bears. And they were growling and start coming in through the door, through the porch. They broke the door. And when they got together, he went right in between them, that woman, and went outside. And she could hear them growling and everything inside the house. And then finally, there was no noise inside. She couldn't hear nothing anymore. And all that noise at first and silence. And then when there was no more noise, she went home and went to sleep and then went back the next day. And then she took the window open and this young lady went in through the window. And when he looked inside, those two polar bears had killed all the people that lived in there. But this young man was right in the middle of the floor. He was alive or had been alive for a while. They killed that young man by taking the skin off from the man. That's how they killed him. And then no matter how much the people wanted him to stay there, they wouldn't stay there, so they left. They left that place because there was nothing left for them over there, really. So they went to a different country, and when they went to a different country, they reached this house or this place, and they went inside. And when they went inside, there were all kinds of animals in there. And then when they looked at all those animals, some of them were red foxes and white foxes and blue foxes and polar bear, brown bear, everything. And she noticed in the forefront that they had a number on them. And they also noticed that when they went inside, they had a number. And she was wondering what that number was. And when these were really people, and she noticed that she was one of them, and when they seen their number, they found out they were one of the white foxes. And that is how they lived from then on. They lived happily ever after in there. They had become animals because they didn't want to live with people anymore, because the people were just, you know, always made fun of them. And that is how the story ended.